get-go.
Just want to start today with a trigger warning disclaimer. This podcast contains descriptions of death and drowning. Hi, I'm Katie Carpenter.
I'm Terry Kovanitz.
We apologize for any and all mistakes today as we begin this episode of Titanic Transcripts.
The witness has been sworn by the chairman. What is your name?
Charles Herbert Lightoller.
Mr. Lightoller, where do you reside?
Netley Abbey, Hampshire.
England?
England.
How old are you?
38.
What is your business?
Seaman.
How long have you been in service or employment?
13 years and 3 months.
How extensive has your service been in that time?
I do not quite follow you.
How much service have you seen, like in what capacities?
In all the capacities in the White Star Service. 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st officer.
You've been in the White Star Service during all of that time?
Yes, sir.
What position have you held?
4th, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st officer.
What position do you occupy now?
2nd officer of the Titanic.
How long have you been 2nd officer?
Altogether about 7 years.
When did you go aboard the Titanic?
In Belfast.
When?
March 19 or 20.
Did you make the so-called trial trips?
Yes, sir.
Of what did they consist?
Turning circles and adjusting compasses.
In what waters?
Belfast Lough.
How extensive is that Lough?
I can hardly say offhand without seeing a chart.
Have you any data here that shows?
No.
Just state as nearly as you can.
It may be about 15 miles long, widening out from a few miles wide to perhaps 7 miles, but that is only approximate, sir.
Have you ever been in that water before?
Only passing through.
How did you happen to pass through it?
Going into Belfast or coming outbound to do some port. I do not mean an official capacity, but just as a passenger. I have been through it in an official capacity about 11 years ago.
Is that water usually selected for these trial tests for new ships?
Yes.
What was the condition of the weather when you made this trial test?
Light breeze, clear weather, sir.
From the time you boarded the Titanic, did you at any time encounter any rough weather?
No, sir.
You were always in smooth water, so-called?
Yes, sir.
Does that include up to the time of this collision?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Of what do these trial tests consist?
Turning circles.
I wish you would describe that a little more fully. Under what head of steam and how fast would the boat be moving?
Under various speeds.
In how large a radius would these circles be made?
Turning circles consists of seeing in what space the ship will turn under certain helms with the engines at various speeds.
Was this boat tested at its maximum speed?
That I could not say, sir.
What was the maximum speed?
That I could not say, sir. She was never put, to my knowledge, to her maximum speed.
What did you understand it to be?
About 22 and a half to 23 knots.
From whom did you get that information?
Just general rumor, sir.
Did you talk with the boat's officers?
From talk generally, yes. It was only an approximate idea.
How much time was spent in the test?
I could not say exactly.
Approximately.
About 5 hours?
During that time, those circles were made?
Yes, sir.
And the ship reversed?
Yes, sir.
And put on a straight course?
Yes, sir.
And under full head?
I could not say, sir. She steamed for a certain distance under approximately a full head of steam, but how much steam was on, I could not say, or what pressure of steam.
How many engines were there in this boat?
2 reciprocating and 1 turbine.
Were they all working on the trial test?
So far as I know, sir.
What do you know about that? Were you in the engine room?
No, sir. I was on my station aft.
Where was your station?
The after end of the ship.
Then you would not, of your own knowledge, know whether its entire power was being tested out or not.
I should not. No, sir.
5 hours was the length of time spent in making those tests?
Approximately the length of time occupied in turning those circles.
What was the next thing that was done with the ship?
She was run a certain distance on a comparatively straight course and back again.
How far?
I could not say without a chart, sir.
How long did it take you?
Approximately 4 hours.
To make the straight run?
Yes, sir.
And return?
And return.
4 hours altogether, two out and two back?
Two out and two back. That's only approximate.
Would you think, from what you observed in the movements of this ship, that it was going pretty fast?
For a ship of that size, a fair speed.
Fair speed?
A fair speed.
What would you call a really good speed?
When the ship was built, we only expected her to go 21 knots. Therefore, anything over 21 we thought very good.
This ship exceeds 21 knots?
On the trials? I am not speaking of the trials. I do not know what the speed was. I have no idea.
I understand you to say that you expected to get 21 knots out of her?
The builders, I presume, to get 21.
That was the general rumor?
Yes.
Among the officers?
Yes.
I suppose that was the hope, too, of the officers?
Exactly.
What boat had you been on before you went on board the Titanic?
The Oceanic?
The Oceanic of the same line?
Of the same line.
How large a boat is the Oceanic?
17,000 tons gross.
Do you know her maximum speed?
21 knots.
I want to be sure I get the results of these trial tests accurately. I want you to tell me how long it took to make these tests. The straightaway tests and the circle tests, all together, consumed how much time?
Approximately 6 or 7 hours. I could not say any nearer than that.
What time of day did you begin these tests?
In the morning.
How early?
About 10 o'clock.
Was it clear weather?
Perfectly clear.
Was there any sea?
Very little.
And after about 7 hours, these tests were concluded?
With the exception of full speed astern. That is to see in what distance the ship will stop with the engine's full speed aturn. What we call the full speed aturn test.
Was that made that day?
Yes, sir.
How long did that take?
That was only a matter of minutes.
A few minutes?
A few minutes.
Do you know who was aboard the Titanic in these trial tests?
A great number. I know some of them.
Please state those that you know.
Captain Smith, Mr. Murdoch, Chief Officer, myself, First Officer, Mr. Blair, Second Officer, Mr. Pittman, Third Officer, Mr. Boxall, Fourth Officer, Mr. Lowe, Fifth Officer, Mr. Moody, Sixth Officer, and Mr. Andrews of Harland and Wolfe.
Representing the builders?
Yes, sir. I could not say anyone else with any accuracy.
Who was the Chief Engineer?
Mr. Bell, Chief Engineer, Mr. Ferguson, Second Engineer, Mr. Hexeth, also second. That's all I know.
How many men constituted the crew?
Seamen you're speaking of?
Yes.
About 71 all told, officers and crew.
And seamen?
Yes, sir.
On the trial test?
Oh, no, sir. Sorry, I am not speaking of the trial.
How many men constituted the crew on the trial test?
About 30 of the crew and about 30 of what we call runners.
Were there any guests on the boat?
I believe there were, but I could not say who.
Do you know who they were?
No, sir. No, sir.
Were there any of the officers of the White Star Line?
I could not say with certainty, sir.
You do not recall seeing any of them?
I do not recall. No, sir. I believe there were some on board, but I cannot remember who they were. I was not brought in contact with them.
Was Mr. Ismay aboard?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Did you hear afterwards that he was on board?
No, sir.
You cannot recall any officer of the company that was?
No, sir.
I mean any general officer?
No, sir.
Or director?
No, sir.
Was there anybody aboard representing the British government?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Were there any other officers of any other White Star Line boats?
No, sir.
After that final test, what was done with the boat?
We proceeded toward Southampton.
Immediately?
Almost immediately after taking on board a few things that had been left behind, which were required for the completion of the ship.
What?
So far as I know, requisites down in the galley, cooking apparatus, a few chairs, such things as that.
Was the life-saving equipment...
Oh, no, sir, nothing like that.
Was the life-saving equipment complete?
Yes, sir.
Of what did it consist?
the necessary number of lifeboats.
I wish you would say how that is determined, if you can.
By the number of people on board.
You do not know how many there are on board until you are ready to start?
No, sir.
It is not determined by the number of accommodations rather than the number of people who get on board?
There must be life-saving apparatus for everyone on board, regardless of accommodations.
Yes, but what I desire to know is whether in each stateroom, on each deck, in all classes, whether there's any rule, or whether it was followed at that time, so far as you know, in equipping this boat with life preservers and life belts and anything else that might appropriately go into the rooms and be up on the deck of the boats of that character.
She was perfectly complete throughout, sir.
How many lifeboats were there?
16.
All of the same type?
Consisting of 14 lifeboats, 2 emergency boats, and 4 collapsible boats.
Tell us whether they were new entirely?
Entirely new.
And in their proper places?
In their proper places.
With the necessary lowering apparatus?
Everything complete, examined by the officers of the ship.
Was a test of the lifeboats made before you sailed for Southampton?
All the gear was tested.
Were the lifeboats lowered?
Yes, sir.
Under whose orders?
The officers. Principally my orders.
Under your orders?
Yes.
Did you see the work done?
I did.
Tell us just what was done.
All the boats on the ship were swung out, and those that I required were lowered down so far as I wanted them. Some all the way down, and some dropped into the water.
I wish you would give the proportion that went into the water.
About 6.
6 into the water?
Yes.
And the others lowered?
Part of the way, as far as I thought necessary.
Part of the way?
Yes.
Of course, part of the way would not do anybody much good on a sinking ship. I assume you did that for the purpose of trying the gear and not for the purpose of testing the security of the lifeboats?
It is principally the gear that we test. The lifeboats we know to be all right.
These boats were lowered from what deck?
From the boat deck.
Is that the sun deck?
That is the top deck.
Do you know how far it was from that top deck to the water?
70 feet.
What time did you reach Southampton?
About midnight.
Of what night?
I could not say.
Think it over.
I think it was the morning of the 4th of April.
What makes you think it was the morning of the 4th?
Because we sailed on the 10th.
How long did it take to make the run to Southampton?
About 24 hours.
Did you strike any heavy weather?
No, sir.
How fast did you go?
About 18 knots.
What was done when you reached Southampton?
The ship was healed for stability.
Just describe that.
The builders, knowing the exact weights on board, additional weights are placed on each side of the ship. A pendulum is suspended in the most convenient place in the ship, with a plumb on the end of it, and a method of registering the difference with the plumb line. A number of men then transfer the weights from one side of the ship to the other, bringing all the weight on one side and transferring the whole of it back again. And with this, I believe the builders are able to draw up a stability scale.
From what part of the ship are these tests made?
The weights carried over, you mean?
Yes. From the upper part?
The C deck. That's the third deck down.
About the center of the ship?
It's not quite the center of the ship.
Were there any tests made from the upper deck?
Not that I know of, sir.
What else was done at Southampton?
We shipped coal, provisions, cargo was taken on board, passed the Board of Trade tests and survey.
Did some British officer make the Board of Trade test?
The Southampton Board of Trade officer.
What did he do?
He carried out the requisite tests required by the Board of Trade.
Did you accompany him?
Yes, I was with him part of the time.
Who was the officer of the board, British Board of Trade?
Captain Clark.
He was an officer?
He was purely a representative of the British Board of Trade, appointed by the British Board of Trade with post at the Port of Southampton, a surveyor.
He was assigned to Southampton?
Yes, sir.
How old a man was he?
About 45.
Of English nationality?
Yes.
Had you ever seen him before?
Frequently.
Do you know whether he had any experience in Marine service?
All surveyors, as I understand, have been in command. I know he had for a number of years.
What does that mean, that he had been in command?
In command of a British ship. Captain.
How much time did this officer spend on the ship?
That I could not say, sir.
How much time did he spend when he was with you?
About 4 hours.
Then did you turn him over to some other officer?
Yes, sir.
To what other officer?
I think it was the first.
What was his name?
Mr. Murdoch.
Did he survive the Titanic survivor?
No, sir. He was cheap then.
He did not survive?
No, sir.
Do you know whether any other officer of the ship accompanied this inspector during his stay on board?
I could not say with certainty.
What is your best judgment about it?
I should say the Marine Superintendent was with him the whole time.
The Marine Superintendent?
Of the White Star Line at Southampton.
What is his name?
Captain Steele.
How old a man is he?
About 50.
Is he a commander?
Yes, sir.
Had you ever seen one of the ocean liners inspected by the British Board of Trade Representatives before?
Frequently.
How thorough are they about it?
Speaking of Captain Clark, we call him a nuisance because he is so strict.
Captain Clark?
Yes, sir.
Is he the Marine officer?
That is the Board of Trade Representative.
In what respect is he a nuisance?
Because he makes us fork out every detail.
I should suppose you'd be quite willing to do that.
Oh, perfectly willing.
Do you mean by that that he would call attention to the absence of tools, implements, and devices necessary for the ship's full equipment?
No, sir. He would insist upon them all being absolutely brought out on deck every time.
On what?
Everything that contributes to the ship's equipment.
What would that consist of?
The whole of the ship's life-saving equipment.
Life preservers?
Life preservers throughout the ship, all the boats turned out, uncovered, all the tanks examined, all the breakers examined, oars counted, boats turned out, rudders tried, all the davits tried. There was innumerable detail work.
And the boats lowered?
The boats lowered, put in the water, and pulled out and brought back again. And if he was not satisfied, sent back again.
And the ropes and chains tested?
Yes, sir.
When he inspected your ship, about where would he find these life preservers?
Life belts in every room, in every compartment, where, as we say, there was habitation, where a man could live.
Would that include the steerage?
Yes, undoubtedly, and the crew's quarters.
In the steerage, do they have rooms?
Yes, sir.
Are they equipped?
Yes, sir.
With the same apparatus for the preservation of life with an emergency as the first and second cabins?
Identically the same.
You use the term life belt?
Yes, sir.
I wish you would describe a life belt.
It consists of a series of pieces of cork. Allow me to show you by illustration. A hole is cut in there for the head to go through, and then this falls over the front and the back, and there are tapes from the back then tied around the front. It is a new idea and very effective, because no one can make a mistake in putting it on.
Is there cork on both sides?
On both sides.
Are the arms free?
Free, absolutely.
And when in the water does this adhere or extend?
It is tied to the body.
It is tied to the body?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever had one of these on?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been into the sea with one of them?
Yes, sir.
Where?
From the Titanic.
Oh, in the recent collision?
Yes, sir.
How long were you in the sea with this life belt on?
Between half an hour and an hour.
And what time did you leave the ship?
I didn't leave it.
Did the ship leave you?
Yes, sir.
Did you stay until the ship departed entirely?
Yes, sir.
I wish you would tell us whether the suction incidental to the sinking of this vessel was a great deterrent in making progress away from the boat.
It was hardly noticeable.
From what point on the vessel did you leave it?
On top of the officers' quarters.
And where were the officers' quarters?
Immediately abaft of the bridge.
Immediately abaft of the bridge.
Abaft of the wheelhouse.
Was that pretty well towards the top of the vessel?
Yes, sir.
Were the lifeboats gone when you found yourself without any footing?
All except one.
And where was that one?
In the tackles, trying to get it over.
Did not the tackles work readily?
Yes, sir.
What delayed it?
It was the third boat over by the same tackles.
The third boat over by the same tackles?
Yes, sir.
From what deck?
The boat deck.
The sun deck?
The sun deck.
How close were you to the lifeboat at this time?
15 feet.
Was it filled before starting to lower it?
It was not high enough to lower.
Why?
It was not high enough to lower. They were endeavoring to get it over the bulwarks, outboard, swinging it, getting it over the bulwarks. When it was over the bulwarks, then it would hang in the tackles, and until it hung in the tackles, it was impossible to put anyone in it.
How far below the boat deck?
Above the boat deck.
How far above the boat deck?
About 4 feet 6 inches.
And it was lowered to the boat deck?
It did not get over the bulwarks to be lowered.
The last you saw of it?
Yes, sir.
Who was managing this tackle?
The first officer, Mr. Murdoch.
He lost his life?
Yes.
Did you see Mr. Ismay at the time?
No, sir.
Did you see him at any time?
Yes, sir.
Where?
On the boat deck.
How long before it sunk?
At first, before we started to uncover the boats, when we started to uncover the boat.
I did not quite catch that.
Excuse me, when we started to uncover the boats.
How long was that after the collision?
About 20 minutes.
And what was he doing?
Standing still.
Dressed?
I could not say, sir. It was too dark.
Was he talking to anyone?
No, sir.
He was alone?
Yes, sir.
On what deck?
On the boat deck.
Were there any other passengers on that deck?
Not that I saw at that time.
Did you see any there afterwards?
Plenty.
Had the passengers the right to go on the deck from below?
Every right.
There was no restraint at the staircase?
None.
Was that true as to the steerage?
The steerage have no right up there, sir.
Did they on that occasion?
Oh, yes.
There was no restraint?
Absolutely none.
There must have been considerable confusion.
Not that I noticed.
Was everybody orderly?
Perfectly.
How long did you see Mr. Ismay there alone?
Just as I passed.
Where were you going at that time?
I was attending to the boats, seeing the men distributed, having the boat covers stripped off.
You say you were 15 feet from this last boat when it was lowered?
It was not lowered, sir. I was 15 feet from it when they were endeavoring to get it into the tackles.
Did you go nearer to it than that?
I did not have the opportunity, sir.
Why not?
The ship went down.
Was the boat ever lowered?
No, sir.
It remained in the tackle?
Yes, sir.
When did you see Mr. Ismay with reference to the attempted lowering of this boat?
I saw Mr. Ismay as I stated to you, sir.
Only once?
Yes, sir.
And that was about 20 minutes after the collision?
Yes, sir.
And there were no other passengers on the deck at that time?
Not that I noticed. I should notice Mr. Ismay naturally more than I should notice passengers.
Why?
Because I know him.
Oh, how long have you known him?
Since I've been in the company.
Are you quite well acquainted with the officers on this company?
I naturally know them by sight.
Does he know you?
Oh, he knew me, yes.
Did he speak to you?
No, sir.
Who was he with at that time?
No one.
Neither spoke to the other?
No, sir.
Did he see you?
Yes, sir. I don't know whether he recognized me.
Do you know where the captain was at this time?
I could not say, sir.
Did you see him on the bridge?
Previous to that, I had seen him on the bridge.
How long before that?
About 3 minutes after the impact.
Did he leave the bridge, or did he remain there and leave your point of occupation?
I left.
You left?
Yes, sir.
Where did you go?
Back to my berth.
What for?
There was no call for me to be on deck.
No call or no cause?
As far as I could see, neither call nor cause.
You mean from the moment of the impact?
Yes, sir.
Did you believe the boat was in danger?
No, sir.
You felt that it was not a serious accident?
I did not think it was a serious accident.
What was the force of the impact?
A slight jar and a grinding sound.
From front or side?
Well, naturally I should think it was in the front, but whether it was, I could tell no. Whether it was, I could tell not.
You could not tell exactly?
No, sir.
Was there a noise?
Very little.
Very little?
Very little.
Did you go back to your room under the impression that the boat had not been injured?
Yes, sir.
Didn't you tell Mr. Ismay that night?
I had not seen Mr. Ismay then.
Did you tell him that after?
Really? I could not say, sir.
Where were you when the impact occurred?
In my berth.
Asleep?
No, sir. I was just getting off asleep.
You arose?
Yes, sir.
Did you dress yourself?
No, sir.
What did you put on, if anything?
Nothing.
You went out of your room?
Yes, sir.
Forward?
Out on deck.
On deck?
Yes, I walked forward.
You walked forward how far?
A matter of 10 feet, until I could see the bridge distinctly.
You could see the bridge distinctly, and the captain was on the bridge?
The captain and first officer.
Did you see any other officers at that time?
I did not notice them.
Had no alarm been given at that time?
None.
How much time elapsed after the impact and your appearance on the deck?
I should say about 2 or 3 minutes.
2 or 3 minutes?
2 minutes.
Then you returned? How long did you remain on deck?
About 2 or 3 minutes.
At that time, who else was on the deck at that point?
Excluding the bridge, I saw no one except the third officer, who left his berth shortly after I did.
Did he join you?
Yes.
Did you confer about what had happened?
Yes, sir.
What did you conclude had happened?
Nothing much.
You knew there had been a collision?
Not necessarily a collision.
You knew you had struck something?
Yes, sir.
What did you assume it to be?
Ice.
Ice?
Yes, sir.
Why?
That was the conclusion one naturally jumps to around the banks there.
Had you seen ice before?
No, sir.
Had there been any test taken of the temperature of the water?
A test is taken of the water every 2 hours from the time the ship leaves until she returns to port.
Do you know whether these tests were made?
They were.
Did you make them?
Oh, no, sir.
Were they made under your direction?
No, sir.
Then how do you know they were made?
It is the routine of the ship.
So you assume they were made?
Yes, sir.
But you cannot say of your own knowledge that they were?
Well, not of my own actually seeing, no, sir.
How are these tests made?
By drawing water from over the side in a canvas bucket and placing a thermometer in it.
How far down did you dip the water? Did you try to get surface water or did you try to get below?
It is impossible to get water below, just the surface.
You get surface water entirely?
Yes, sir.
And those tests had been made that day?
Yes.
At intervals of 2 hours?
Yes, sir.
And this was on Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear anything about the rope or chains or wire to which the test basins were attached not reaching the water at any time during those tests?
The bucket you speak of?
Yes.
No, sir.
Would a complaint of that character come to you if it had been true?
Very quickly, I should think so, sir.
How would it come to you?
From the person who saw it, I should think.
It would be his duty to report to you?
Undoubtedly.
Directly to you?
Well, directly to the officer in charge of the ship at the time.
Who was in charge of the ship on Sunday?
Each officer kept his own watch, sir.
Were you in charge?
During my watch.
What hours were your watch?
6 o'clock until 10 o'clock.
At night?
And morning.
So, that's from 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Until 10 o'clock, you were in charge?
Yes, sir.
And during that time, two tests should have been made of the temperature of the water for the purpose of ascertaining whether you were in the vicinity of icebergs?
No, sir.
For what purpose were these tests made?
They were routine, sir. It is customary to make them.
Do you mean that you take these tests when you are not in the vicinity of the Grand Banks?
From the time we leave port, any port in the world, until the time we get to the next port in any part of the world, these tests are taken by the White Star Line.
Did you take these tests when you are not in the vicinity of the Great Banks?
We take them all the time, every 2 hours.
Regardless of location or circumstances?
Yes, sir.
Or conditions?
Yes, sir. I may except in narrow waters, such as rivers or harbors. We do not take them there.
Is this test made for the purpose of ascertaining the temperature of the water?
Yes, sir.
Merely?
Merely.
What does the temperature of the water indicate?
Nothing more than the temperature of the air, sir.
Does it not indicate the proximity of a colder area or an unusual condition?
No, sir. It indicates cold water, sir, of course.
Can you tell us how cold that water was?
I know what it was when I was in it.
I should like to have your judgment about it.
I should say it was not much over freezing. How much I could not say. It might be 33 or 34 degrees.
Not much over freezing?
Oh, no, sir.
What did the test show?
I do not know, sir.
You mean they did not report to you?
It is entered in a book, sir.
And the fact is not communicated to you directly after each test?
Not unless I ask for it.
And you did not think it necessary to ask for it that night?
No, sir.
You knew you were in the vicinity of icebergs, did you not?
Water is absolutely no guide to icebergs, sir.
I did not ask that. Did you know you were in the vicinity of icebergs?
No, sir.
Did you know the wireless message from the America to the Titanic warned you that you were in the vicinity of icebergs?
From the America to the Titanic?
Yes.
I cannot say that I saw that individual message.
Did you hear of it?
I could not say, sir.
Would you have heard of it?
Most probably, sir.
If that had been the case?
Most probably, sir.
In fact, it would have been the duty of the person receiving this message to communicate it to you, for you were in charge of the ship?
Under the commander's orders, sir.
But you received no communication of that kind?
I do not know whether I received the America's. I knew that a communication had come from some ship, but I cannot say that it was the America.
Giving the latitude and longitude of those icebergs?
No latitude.
And that they were prevalent?
Speaking of the icebergs and naming their longitude.
Just tell us, if anything, what did you hear about that and from whom, if you can?
From what ship the message came, I have forgotten, but the message contained information that there was ice from 49 to 51.
How do you know it came?
Because I saw it.
That is since the collision?
Not that I know of.
Have you seen it since the collision?
Not that I know of. Whether it was the same message or not, I have seen some. Whether it is the same or not, I do not know. I have not seen the same to my knowledge.
From whom did you get that information?
From the captain.
That night?
Yes.
At what time did you get the information?
I think it was that afternoon.
At what time?
About 1 o'clock.
Where were you then?
On the bridge.
With the captain?
Yes.
Where was the ship with reference to her latitude?
I could not tell you without working it out, sir.
What time of day was it?
About 1 o'clock.
You were not then officer?
I was relieving for lunch.
So that from the time this communication came to you, you were not in charge of the ship until 6 o'clock that night?
Exactly.
Who succeeded you as officer of the ship?
The first officer, Mr. Murdoch.
Did you communicate to him this information that the captain had given you on the bridge?
I communicated that when I was relieving him at 1 o'clock.
And what did you tell him?
Exactly what was in the telegram.
What did he say?
All right.
So that the officer of the ship, the officer in charge, Mr. Murdoch, was fully advised by you that you were in proximity of these icebergs.
I would hardly call that proximity.
Pardon me, and I will complete my question. And you were advised by the captain that that was the case. Or reversing it, you were advised by the captain and by word of mouth and communicated that word to Officer Murdoch in charge of the ship, to which he replied, all right.
Yes, sir.
Did you hold any further consultation about it?
With the first officer? No, sir.
How fast was the boat going at that time?
About 21 or 22.
21 or 22 knots?
Yes, sir.
Was that her maximum speed?
I do not know, sir. I could not say, sir.
Do you know whether she went any faster than that at any time on this trip?
As far as we understood, she would eventually go faster than that when the ship was tuned up.
But that was as fast as she went on the trial test.
I do not know what her speed was on the trial trip.
I thought you indicated it was about that. She was, however, running at her maximum speed at that time?
We understood she was not at her maximum speed.
That is, you understand that there was still reserve power there?
Yes.
That had not been exhausted?
Yes.
Did you have any instructions from anybody to exhaust that power?
None.
Did you have any ambition of your own to see it exhausted?
Well, yes, I dare say.
You wanted her to go as fast as she could?
At some time or the other, yes.
Was that shared by your associates among the officers?
I could not say, sir.
Did they talk about it?
Naturally, we talked. We wondered what her maximum speed would eventually be.
You were anxious to see it tested?
Not necessarily anxious.
Interested, however?
Interested, yes.
When you turned the ship over to Second Officer Murdoch...
The first officer.
When you turned the ship over to the first officer, Mr. Murdoch, where did you go?
What time are you speaking of now?
I'm speaking of about noon or 1 o'clock.
I went to my lunch.
And what did you do after that?
I went below.
Where?
Below to my berth, or wherever it happened to be. We call the quarters generally below.
Did you find anybody there when you got below?
Yes, the watch below, I suppose, was there.
Did you have any talk with him about the word that the captain had given you?
No, sir.
Did you have any talk with anybody about it?
No, sir. Not that I remember.
How long did you remain in your room?
I dare say I was in and out of the room 2 or 3 times during the afternoon. Later on, I lay down in the afternoon to sleep and got up and wrote some letters or something like that.
And took your place again in command of the ship, or rather as officer of the watch, at 6 o'clock?
At 6 o'clock.
At that time, did you say anything to the other officers who were on duty at the time about this information that the captain gave you?
Not that I remember, sir.
Was the lookout increased that evening after you took the watch?
No, sir.
Okay, let's take a break right here.
Okay, yeah, this one is kind of a long one, but it is really meaty.
Yeah, meaty is good.
I
like how the senator keeps trying to trip him up, like, by sticking the same question in later. Like,
Yeah, I can see that both parties are getting really frustrated. On the senator's behalf, we have to remember that this is still just day one, and he's been going this whole time. And then on Mr. Lightholder's behalf, he's a worker. He's ranked, what is it, three or four on the ship, and he just doing his job. And then I'm sure it's got to be frustrating to explain every little detail of, like, lowering the boats and, you know.
Yeah, and this is high emotion because it's, what, 5 days after?
Yeah, you go right from probably the biggest tragedy of your life and laying in freezing water and having to defend yourself about it later.
To even remember it in order would, like, take some time for it to settle in, I think.
And I understand it's a testimony as well, or a Senate hearing, but to so casually blow past everybody's death, I know that you have more questions to get to as a senator, but I feel really bad for the people that are on the stand having to just, no, he didn't survive, and, you know, yeah. Oh, when did you leave the ship, or why did you leave the ship? Oh, because it sunk from underneath my feet.
Yeah, it's like he's asking to find out if he's going to question him later or not, instead of, like, asking if because these people aren't there anymore.
Yeah, like, you know, what do you want from me? I'm a human, an employee, and I had a tragedy, so.
And I just need to get this stuff done. I need to get these questions asked and answered, because that's what I need to do. Yeah, whoosh.
A note from the readers, we want to thank you guys for listening, and we really value your feedback, so please let us know what you're thinking, either in the comments or at titanictranscripts@gmail.com. ¶¶